12, Luke 12. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us this way today. As we look in the Word of God in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. As we look in Luke chapter 12, Jesus starts off this chapter in verse 1. It says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." The Pharisees, he says, he tells us in other places in the Scripture that they'll tell you to do things that they don't do. They'll tell you to live by principles they don't live by. He said that's a leaven. He said if you get that in you, it's going to spread. If it gets in a church, it spreads. And before long, instead of Christ-like Christians, you got critical Christians. And instead of soul winners, you got judges. And I mean judges as in self-appointed judges. And he says in verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." That ties together with the Old Testament verse in Numbers 32 where it said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Right. If you don't believe that, ask Hillary Clinton about all them emails. Hey, the only person dumber that voted for the current regime be the one that voted for that one. Say, well, that's politics. Yeah, I'm trying to help America out right now. But I notice as we look in the Word of God, in this chapter, in verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable of them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And he makes this statement, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That word treasure shows up again in verse 34. Where the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Treasure. Treasure. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. If we have that treasure spoken of there, that's the Holy Spirit of God, that treasure is. And if we have Him, wherever He wants to go, we gonna want to go. If Jesus is in your heart, listen to this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Colossians 3, your heart will be set on heavenly things. Amen. See, it don't take much to knock people out of the saddle because they ain't got much in them. They don't have a relationship with the Lord because they don't know Him. Wow. I've heard people in the last 20 years start preaching this stuff and saying, "Well, I was just saved before and I have a relationship with the Lord." Those things are not inseparable. Those go together. When God saves you, He don't save you to be a knot on the log for you to one day get around people and say, "Oh, you're supposed to have a relationship with Jesus. Do you have one?" And say, "No, well, I want one," and get one. No, He saves you for that relationship. Right. And listen to this. He's like an American Express card. He don't leave home without it. Right. I see He said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Look at verse 35. "Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, that He may open unto him immediately." And don't you notice verse 37, "Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." I want to preach to you this morning on the watching servants. The watching servants. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus says to watch. He says, blessed are they that watch. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at the watching servants. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord God, and we pray, Lord, that you'll just do a work in our hearts and lives and help us today. Lord God, I pray that you'll touch our hearts and help us, Lord God, to be watching servants. Lord, I pray, God, if there be anybody here that's lost and undone without you, God, they'd get saved before we walk out of this building today. I pray for the saints of God today that you'll feed them the Word of God, strengthen them, and help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. For it's in His precious and holy name we pray, and for His sake. Amen. There are some simple observations I want to show you today about these watching servants he refers to that are in verse 37. The first thing you'll notice right off the bat is the first word. He said, blessed are those servants. I want to show you as a simple observation the state of those servants. They're blessed. And listen, if you are a servant of God, if you belong to Him and you serve Him, you are blessed. If anybody says you're not blessed, I don't think they've read their Bible, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, listen to this, the first 9 occurrences of the word blessed in the New Testament are all in Matthew chapter 5, and they go like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know before you got saved, you had to get poor? You had to admit that you was bankrupt spiritually before God and man. You had to come to Him and beg Him to save you. And not only did He save you, He said something about the kingdom of heaven there. You know what that is? That's a place. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Although I don't look like it, I maintain and have a residence on Buford Street in Gaffney, South Carolina. Though I don't look like it, I live on the richest city and the richest place in the world to be at. Why? Because a saved man lives there, brother. Hey, got a treasure. But the treasure ain't there right now. The treasure's here. But watch this. Though I may not look like it, though my body be riddled with everything under the sun, and though it gets old and wants to die all the time, hey, listen, I'm a citizen of heaven now. You know why? I got poor in spirit one day. I quit running from everything and said, look, I don't have it together like I thought I did. Got poor in spirit. What'd that make you? Two things. Saved and blessed. Saved and blessed. Second occurrence of the word blessed. Listen to this one. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. One thing in life is sure. They say there's two things, really. It's death and taxes. You know what I found out? It's three things is sure. Death, taxes, and tears. Blessed are they that mourn. I've heard all my life these people talking about, well, I'm a tough guy, I don't cry. Let me tell you something, big boy. You gonna cry tears like a crocodile at some point in time or another. And as a saved person, God will break your heart over people sometimes. You'll be praying and the Holy Spirit of God squeeze your heart about somebody. And listen, you'll begin to mourn for that very person. Hey, listen, blessed are they that mourn. You say, what do you got? You saved and you blessed. Death, taxes, and tears, it's all coming. But hey, he said that person like that's blessed. And he says the next occurrence of the word blessed, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Watch this. I have heard people talk about preachers all my adult life. Talk about them like dogs. And if I'm dressed up in my undercover clothes, they talk about me because they don't know I'm standing there. You know what I think about that? Fool on all of them. You know why? I do not have to defend myself if I'm not guilty of nothing. But wait, there's more. If I'll just sit back and let God take care of it, I'll get to be their governor or their mayor one day in the millennial reign of Christ. And then the very one they talk about, they'll get to have to answer to one day. It all has to do with just keeping it to yourself and letting God take care of it. All them people that talk about the late Dr. Jimmy Robbins like a dog, do you know he's going to be the mayor of Calpians and God's going to make everyone that talk about him be a citizen of Calpians? It's true. All them people in Spartanburg had run down Brother Carter and all this other stuff and all the nasty things they said about a good man of God like that. Do you know he's going to be over Spartanburg and God's going to make all them people live in Spartanburg and answer directly to him? It's coming. Friend, listen. I've seen over the years that people, for some reason, I've never understood why, but the very people that would help them out, that's who they hate. You know what God said about them? Blessed. They shall inherit the earth. The next occurrence, the word blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hey, that blessed servant, you know, listen, if we're talking about the state of that servant and how they are blessed. You know why? You can have all of God that you want to have. You can get as much of God as you want to get. You can be as spiritual as you want to be. You can take in as much as you want. You can have as much of Him. And He even says so in Luke chapter 11, says how much more God would give you. Hey, listen. Hey, if you give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you? You can be as spiritual as you want to be. But you're blessed. He says also, blessed are the merciful, if they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Hey, stand up for Jesus. Hey, listen, blessed, 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 blessed. Hey, that's literally is the state of the watching servant. You and I that sit around and we long for Jesus Christ to come back and get us in the rapture of the church, and not only long for it, but look for it. We're watching servants. God calls you something. He calls you blessed. He called the guy that wasn't looking, that didn't need the Lord and wanted to build bigger barns, He called him a fool, but He'll call you blessed. Listen to this. We see another observation about the watching servants, and you'll notice this. He says in verse 37, he says this, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. The state, how they really are blessed. Their status, God requires this, to watch. The status of the servant is to watch for the master. And when He says, when the Lord cometh shall find watching, Christ didn't want you to stand outside in your front yard all day long going, are you coming? Are you coming? No, He wants you to always be ready for Him to show up. There are times back in your elementary school career in which the teacher walked out of the room and said, you better be quiet. If the teacher next door tells me when I get back that you are acting up and making noise and all this other stuff, when I get back, it's going to be on. And all the children said, yes, ma'am, we'll do good. We promise we'll do good and all this other stuff. And then the old hag said this, if I come back and you're not, out in the hall with you in the paddle. Right? Everybody's going to be good. And she walked out. I'll never forget, I had a teacher who was an NFL veteran, Mr. Tinsley. He carried a paddle around with tape on it. He was up to Super Chopper number 7 by the time I came along. Played for Spartanburg High School, Clemson University, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. He looked like some old dumpy man that something, but boy, I'm going to tell you what, he would light you up when it come to paddling time. I don't know if he ever played golf, but boy, he had to swing for it. He could lift your ankle 6 inches off the floor with every swing. He walked out of that classroom one day and said, do not talk till I get back or else. He said, that sounded mean and negative. It was. Very mean and very negative. We go out, so he goes outside to go to where it was he said he was going to do. Here come an airplane. Here comes something else, and we was all talking. Everybody, see, when the master leaves, sometimes the students forget this. He is coming back. He didn't say to talk. He said, watch. We decided that since we were so much smarter than him, he's such an old, stupid man, that we'd just do what we wanted to do. Because after all, he wasn't in there. He's no longer in charge. Possession is 9/10 of the law and all that, they say. You know what happened when he got back? The wrath of God happened when he got back. He walked in and said, let's pray. And when that old man said, let's pray, it meant every head down on the desk with every eyeball closed. Do not move unless he comes by and touches you. If he touches you, you go to the front of the class. He didn't believe in going outside and getting a witness all this. If he tapped you, go to the front. And if you raised your head up to watch that paddling while it's going on, you got to get one too. And I'll never forget that day because he come back in, he started tapping everybody on every row. We got up there at the end of the thing, there's so many people up the front, we couldn't hardly be there. He said, now let's have a word of prayer. And it was like a demolition derby happened for 10 minutes. I learned what the word watch meant in the fifth grade. I got a physical example of it, a mental picture of it, and a grammatical lesson at the hands of a 12-inch 2x4. And I'm telling you, when he said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord shall come find watching, he's wanting to stay busy in the work, but stay busy in the work because we're watching for him to come and get us. When Jesus shows up, he's not showing up with a paddle for you. He's showing up with a call. And that call is come up hither, and he's coming in a premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture of his church. And for somebody to make the erroneous statement, the Bible didn't teach that. They just started teaching that in the 1800s. Son, have you ever read the Bible where Paul talks about this dispensation of the gospel? Dispensations have been taught by the Apostle Paul. They've been laid out by God Almighty. And when we look in the Word of God, we would be foolish to come along and say, well, now the church is going to have to suffer through half or all of the tribulation. I got news for you. If you believe like that, you ain't got a thing to worry about. That you'll miss the rapture, the devil will blind your mind, and you'll never know Jesus Christ came to get his church. And if you don't believe that, the day after the rapture of the church, business will be as usual on planet Earth. They'll settle things back down when the man of sin comes. And who is it? Listen, hey, we're talking about people that's watching, the watching servants. We're going to be gone. They get to run it for 7 years. But there's just one little catch about that. Everyone that hears the gospel of Jesus Christ on this side of the rapture that does not respond and has all this fakey, phony religion and all this other stuff, the second the rapture occurs, you'll never have to worry about it again. It'll never be something you'll think about it again. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 said God's gonna blind those minds of those people. Can people get saved in the tribulation? Sure can, but if you're listening to me right now, you won't be one of them. If you're lost right now and you understand that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, you will not be one of them. Right. There'll be 144,000 male Jewish virgins sealed by God Almighty to preach the gospel during the tribulation. They'll go out and win multitudes to Christ. But I'm afraid in the southern United States of America, there'll be a lot of people still having church like nothing ever happened. They'll feel the same spirit they felt the Sunday before the rapture. They'll sing the same songs. And they'll think nothing at all's happened. Jesus said to watch. I've been watching this week at some things, and I have to say this, he's coming. I like watching the signs, but I'm listening for the shout. You better watch, friend. Listen, the Lord could come at any time. There's a thing about it, said, when the Lord, when he cometh, he shall find watching. He said those people are not, they're blessed in their state, but he wants their status to be blessed also because he wants them to be looking for him. Do you know Jesus said, where the Father works, there I work. You know what he is doing? Watching. He was watching. Hey, you know why some people, when they hear the word serve the Lord, you know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about how they can get attention on themselves, how they can get on something in a committee in a church and run things. A servant is not that. A servant is somebody who does not want the attention. A servant is somebody who does not want the authority. A servant is one who wants God to have the authority so they can serve him and do what he said to do already without trying to figure out 10,000 things to do that God didn't want them to do to start with. A lot of people's never figured that thing out. I notice he said the status, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find. Do you know that one day, if you live long enough, Christian, listen. If you live long enough, you're going to live long enough to see Christ come. He's going to come. He's going to speak out of heaven. The clouds will open up. He'll say, come up hither. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. All the saints of God, dead and alive, will come up hither at that moment. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive remain shall be quickly changed. We'll go from corruptible to incorruptible. And listen to this. When he says those people is watching, you know what they're going to get? Blessed. Blessed. Hey, I like he said, whom the Lord. He's not sending an angel to check and see. He's coming personally. I'm glad he didn't entrust the rapture of the church to 10,000 angels. One of them might forget one of y'all. Wouldn't you hate that? I'll fly away, oh glory, oh wait a minute, they forgot me. You know why it's so important the Lord come? Because you're sealed until the day of redemption. When he calls, the Holy Spirit inside you that's sealed to you is going to answer, and he's going up, and you're going with him because of that seal. But listen to this. We've got the state of that servant. They're just blessed. We got the status of the servant. The servant should be watching for his Lord. But I see in that verse, he says this, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. I see there the Savior of the servant. If we ever want to define the word servant, all we have to do is read the Gospel of Mark and look at its central figure, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark presents him as a servant, and it shows him that our Savior lived the life of a servant. Isaiah 53 prophesied of that servant, called him the suffering servant. And we see him as he came along in life. We see him born in a simple place, in a poor man's bed. Listen, we see him in a poor man's house. We see him live a poor man's life. And we see him as he goes and gets baptized in poor man's water. Then we see him rise up out of there. And we see him come along in life and really never have a whole lot of money for the next 3.5 years. How'd he get by? We got to pay taxes this gate, Lord. Peter, you're a fisherman, right? I am. Go down there and catch a fish, and when you catch that fish, open his mouth. There'll be a coin in his mouth that'll pay for us to get in here. Never carried around money, but knew where it was at all the time. And if he needed it, it was there. Servant. Servant. I see the Savior of the servant, his exposition he's fixing to lay out. Verily I say unto you. He's fixing to tell them about something that's coming that has to do with being blessed with their state, watching, which should be their status, but he's going to tell them something about himself as their Savior that's going to make a difference in how they view things. He says, verily I say unto you, and by his own example, it said that he shall gird himself. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches that they think the only time to come to church is when you're having something for them. I'll give you an example. We're going to do a baby dedication of the Lord. Well, everybody comes for that. We'll see that baby dedicated. That might be the next big preacher in town. That might be the next something other. That might be the next, what's that thing? That might be the next winner of American Idol. Who knows? Might be the next congressman. God help him. That might be the next president. Have you ever thought about this? That baby might need to be just the next servant. Somebody you never hear from, somebody you don't know anything hardly about, and they keep such a low profile that when you get to heaven, they're going to have the biggest mansion and you never knew they existed. That servant. But the Lord said, here's the example. He'll gird himself. As a servant, the Lord's going to show you something. He gives you a great example of something that's coming in your near future. We talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we bring that up and look at that. Has it ever occurred to you who's doling out the dishes at that thing? He is. He's going to gird himself. He puts on the servant's robe and comes in. Like I said, people come to church, it's all about them. You have their wedding, they come in. I'll tell you something, 99% of all marital failures on the female side is all that attention you get at the wedding. You expect that at the house. And when you get to the house, it ain't 50-50 no more. It's got to be 100-100 instead of you getting all the 100. That's where a lot of young girls mess up their wedding at and their marriage. And they lay in bed at night and cry because it's not all about me anymore. He's so mean, he don't talk about me all the time. Bless your heart, honey. Listen, it ain't about you anymore. It's about Jesus.
Right.
The day you got married, that was about him. He's the one instituted the thing. Amen. You know where the man's failure is? He don't act like Jesus in the marriage. He don't love his wife.
Amen.
Come on, ladies, don't you die on me now. I'm fixing to put him in his place. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to go out and buy some candy bars and flowers today, sir. It wouldn't kill you at all. Listen here. Lady ain't shouted in a month. Yeah, I've mentioned candy bars. But amen, that's right. Listen, it wouldn't hurt the men to go do that. It wouldn't hurt the wife to start loving the husband. You'd get a better picture of Jesus Christ in this marriage supper. But wait, there's more. He said that he shall gird himself. When we get to heaven, we get that marriage supper, you're going to see something you missed on this side of the grave because you wouldn't pay no attention to the Bible. Jesus Christ being a servant. People want to be served. Like I said, the main problem in churches nowadays is people want to come in, they want to be the attention getter. They want to be the one being served. The only thing I try to do at this church is when we have a dinner is put the preachers in the front line. And reason being, this is the only place you'll probably ever, ever get any respect in this world. And you won't get much of it here. I mean, when they call you to come out to do something else, it ain't going to be for something to be in front of the line. You can always be at the back of the line. But I do see people come in that when I say, all right, Brother Curse, don't you dismiss the prayer and bless the food, they'll about run you over to get out there at that building so they'll be front in line. Boy, ain't you glad we ain't eat today? Wouldn't none of y'all stand in line today, would you? I mean, people you ain't seen in 6 months, how about break your neck getting by there? Get first. What's wrong with them? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They never figured out God wants them to be a servant, not a leader. There's sometimes when we see people, they say, well, I want to get my life right with God, serve God. Give me a microphone. I'm afraid that's not serving God, friend. I'm afraid you're trying to get attention for yourself. Well, if you let me have the microphone, I'll give my testimony. Why don't you give his instead? Instead of getting up here and talking about you for 35 solid minutes, why don't you talk about him? Here's a thing to consider. He said that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Yeah. Marriage supper of the Lamb is going to work like this. You're going to go into heaven. And you know why? There's several reasons why. But you know at the end of the thing, God's got to wipe away all tears, right?
Yeah.
Do you know why? If you can sit here at this thing and watch the King of the Universe put on a servant's apron and come around and serve you fried chicken and not be humbled unto tears. As he stretches out that plate with those nail-scarred hands that he done for you and lays that thing down before you. As he comes by and he says, I was blessed. I saw you watching. Thank you. The God that said, let there be light, coming by and handing you food. Is there any wonder why people cannot get a hold of this thing that when the servant of servants, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to take time and serve lowly humanity that come only by His shed blood? You think you can do that thing without tears? You think you can sit there and try to be the first in the line at that punch bowl? Just think of this. You won't have to get up to go get the Diet Mountain Dew. Jesus is bringing it to your table. Servant. The servant. The servant's coming. And that last picture we see of him as a servant there that he's talking about there, that's the spirit he wants everybody in this church to have. He wants us to have the heart of a servant. Look at verse 34 again. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Why don't you examine your heart today? Has it got that treasure of the Holy Spirit of God there? If it does, you've got a servant's heart. Are you blocking that servant's heart? Is your pride knocking the servant's heart out of the way? Is your covetousness, your ego, your absolute love of yourself getting in the way of that? Hey, listen. The servant wants you to serve. He wants you to serve. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, we love you. God.